4DJC.
I just walked away from the mic, and you so rudely interrupted my project over here, but means you're worth it. I come back. It's Ender LTR.
I must not have been a very important project if I interrupted it. Hope you're doing well, Dash. Got should be out there today now.
What was the last, Jerry?
Says got a chippy outside today, isn't it?
Well, I never heard it called that, but it's colder than a well digger's toe. 46 degrees, I'm showing here, with 2 to 9 out of the southwest, and 52% humidity. It's cold. We've been out and around a little bit in the grocery shopping and went to bank and things like that and come back, excuse me, and I need to get a ginger ale over here. Oh, I was installing some lights in my tool cabinets, Jerry. They're pretty good size, and I seen some over at Costco's I liked, and they're about 2 foot long, and they're real, real thin, maybe a quarter inch, and 2 inches wide, and they're LEDs, and probably 6,500 Kelvin, and the only problem is the wires are like 22 gauge that runs between each light, and they got a little plug on the end of them, hybrid, so I just cut the plug off and re-spliced on some wire that was used for the photo cells on overhead doors, which is about the same size. And that way I can jump from light to light at each level of the tool cabinet. And it's really makes a nice light. I got them in the other over there on the south side, and this was the one on the west side, and I'm on the last one now. Go ahead and you talk. I'm listening. I can hear you. I'm just going to walk over and grab a ginger ale and send it over to you.
We had LEDs put in our kitchen and in the garage. Got a 4 foot, I think, by 2 foot. We got 4 foot by 2 foot panels in the kitchen, and the same thing in the garage. The garage is a little more industrial looking than the ones in the kitchen are, but they're not inset into the ceiling or anything like that. They're just sitting on the outside. But they, I got these, both these came where you could set them, you know, three different ways. I got the ones in the garage set, I think, at 5,000, and the ones in the kitchen at 4,000. A little bit bluer light than the 3,500 or 3,000 is, but you can see a lot better in the kitchen. It needs to be have fairly bright lights in, just as the garage does. And I've got enough light to do most anything out of the garage, but I don't even have a tool bench out there anymore, bench of any kind. I'm just sort of getting rid of some of our stuff that's taking up some space out there. We're going to move that out, and then we'll get a pretty nice bench out there, and maybe get another full-size tool cabinet to put out there. And I'll have hanging lights over those, I think. I hadn't decided yet what I'm going to do with that, but I got to get them to come back in, and I've got to put an LED ceiling light in the upstairs bedroom up here, and add in the foyer as well, because these other incandescents, they just burn out just about every other month, because they don't. So we used to buy the 130 volt ones, but I don't think you can even find those anymore, because you know you get 120 and they have a little bit of a voltage spike and they're gone.
Roger. They call those ref service. I always bought those for each one of the machine tools out there, and there was 30,000 square feet of machine tools. I had a 100-watt light over the tables for the machinists, and so I bought these ref service lamps, and I don't know how many salesmen I had come along and try to sell me different ones, and I'd say, well, let me try one out for a couple of months and we'll see if it owns up to what you say. And I only did find one that did. And we had D-span lights on each one of the big beams, you know, the structural beams, for night lights, because they shut the main lights out. And I put them in them, and I'd date them. And those last ones I bought, I can't remember where I bought them at, but by golly, they'd last about a year, year and a quarter. I was really amazed. And we had a lot of fluctuations in voltages, I'm sure, with the kind of equipment we were running, up to 27-foot in diameter mills, you know. And they go to jogging these. It depended on the drives, if they were the starting networks on the drives. Some of the old ones were straight across the line, and you know, you start a 60-horse motor across the line, it's going to make something blink. But all mine down here now, I've changed to LEDs except my red lights, and I found some red tubes one time, a long time ago, that slip over an F40 CW, you know, a standard fluorescent. And at night, Bernice and I, when we're watching TV, I like the red lights over my radio station. And shut off all the white lights and turn the red ones on. And there's two LED ones. They call them party lights. And got them at Lowe's. And they're in the lamp behind her chair. And they're pointing up at the ceiling. And it looks like a drug haven or something. But I like it. I got used to it when I was flying in the service many years ago. And kind of crazy, but I like it. And it's good on your eyes, by golly. It didn't take 5 minutes and you get adjusted to it, you know, Jerry. It's in 0TR.
Your red lights, especially, you know, I still got one. I've got I can't remember what a stream light or mag light I've got. It's got a red lens in it that I use when I'm outside with my satellite stuff. It kind of keeps eyes from getting near out of whack. And I don't like to. I got to find me a good desk lamp. I used to have an old odd light that I bought years ago from a fly tying, which was real bright, but it's fluorescent. And fluorescent just didn't do my eyes any good at all. But the LEDs, as long as they're not, as long as I stay around 4,000 Kelvin on the LEDs, they seem to work real well. I've been buying, as far as the screw type LEDs, I've been buying Phillips brand. And they seem to have better longevity and a little bit. They're outside approved as well. And I've had one outside in the backpack here for a long time, probably a couple of years, and it had two of those high-intensity type lights for flood types, and they've been out there a couple of years now, I guess, and I haven't had a bit of trouble out of those, and I've got one at my front porch and back porch light that's been out there, you know, about as long, but before that, it'd be every 2 or 3 months something that they'd burn out or something like that. They generate some RFI, but it's not, if you're not on 80 meters or something, it doesn't seem to be quite as bad. It doesn't seem to bother me on anything. Not even I can tell anyway. My antennas just don't have enough gain. I think, Tom, to have a problem with it. I don't work enough on it. Don't do enough that on HF for it to become a problem so far.
You know, aboard ship, when I was on the carrier, the pilot said if they were on a flight deck or going from the ready room to the flight, everything's red. If somebody flashed a white light, it would be 30 minutes before the rods and the cones in the back of your retina got back to normal. And they were mean about it. When I was really green and first got aboard ship, I had to install something on one of the planes near the fantail, and I walked up through the gun tub. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face, Jerry. There was a 5-inch gun back there, and then you go up the ladders to the flight deck, and so I took a flashlight. I just picked it up in the shop, and when I wasn't flying, I'd be in the shop, and it had a white lens in it, and I didn't think anything about it. Ooh, they come over that PA system and told me to report up there immediately and get that light out. All I was doing was walking over to the aircraft. And you know what? I shut that light out and walked on over to the aircraft and got in there and shivering. And I thought, well, I goofed. And then I thought, well, I better get back to the shop. And so I did. I didn't even turn a light on. I just went right back to the shop. And, but I never did report up there to the bridge.
I let him try to figure out who it was rather than self-report or something like that. But I know some of these apps that I use for satellite stuff, you know, when it gets dark, you know, these apps, they have a, it's the same with these stargazing apps, too. I think time where they have, they use a red or amber lighting on the apps instead of the white blues like you see during the daytime, and it makes it a lot easier on the eyes to follow. You know, the only thing is the radios are, I turn them down kind of low too, but just they're not quite as these that it's not LED, it's like a transreflexive type TFT type stuff. It's not touch screen or anything like some of them are, but it doesn't seem to be too bad. But I don't have to worry too much. Once I hit stay on frequency, it'll pop up and light up, you know, briefly to who's on and that sort of thing. That's about it. But I use red lights a good bit. I know in the Scouts many years ago we had the old angle 2D cell angle scout type lights, and you could always get a red lens for those.
Pilot's light, in fact, two of them. And even if I get up at night to go into the restroom, I use the red. And you get old, you don't want to stumble. It makes it. Well, you know, I didn't think about it, but if you go up on a flight deck, there wasn't no air ops or nothing. And like I said, it was the first week I was there, and I hadn't been briefed on it, but probably in boot camp or something they told us. But at any rate, a submarine or something, see that light, they could sink the carrier, you know, and so it didn't take long to figure that one out. I didn't have to be pointed out more than once. But everything in the planes and that was red. I like it. And I really do think it's, don't make me sleepy or nothing like that. So that's the only ones down here that way. I think there might be a couple of TH's left up there, but I think I replaced most of them with LEDs. But some of those are not compatible with the older F-40 G-12CWs ballast. And so they might be now. I don't know. It's been quite a while. And I didn't figure two of these was going to bankrupt me. So I just left them that way. I thought it was kind of cool. I tell everybody we break out the bombs and invite the neighbors over, and then we have a big marijuana party, you know. shoot. Thankfully, they don't believe me. And thankfully, I don't. But back in the old days, I remember seeing pictures of that on TV, and that I didn't even know what one of those things was. It's kind of a community thing, and they have a hose going off to each person, Jerry.
In college in the 60s, I saw all that stuff. But, you know, they had, I was talking to somebody, it's been some time ago, they had, we had dark carpets in our home, and one person has suggested, you know, we have night lights and that sort of thing, but, you know, if you have trouble seeing, you know, especially going up or down the staircase, you know, they had a deal where you could run LEDs, like four-level LEDs, you know, just low voltage, low, you know, just area. You couldn't see them during the daytime. At night, of course, they weren't too terribly bright, but everybody knows, so you could, you know, see the outline of where you were going without being too bright. And that, I said, yeah, that's a pretty damn good idea. I haven't tried that yet. That's probably the next thing on the list for me to do. But, you know, one of the things we noticed when we got older, as your eyes are not as good, you need more light to do the same, be able to do the same jobs, or, you know, especially doing stuff in the kitchen or anything to do with any fine work. I've got a pair of those magnifiers. I don't know what mine, I can't remember what mine are called now, but they were about $30 or $40. I get interchangeable lenses, you know, for the front. I use those things all the time, and I just need to find another LED desk lamp or something that's got the one that's got the variable brightness features. I mean, not brightness and for the color. Yeah, for the, you know, 4,000, 5,000 K color type thing. So, because I need that 5,000. 5,000 works real good for working on stuff for me, like electronics, that I can really see with that well. But 3,500, just no matter how bright it is, it doesn't seem to do it for me.
More near the red spectrum too, Jerry. So it's more like tungsten's 3,200. But Jerry, I got one here on the loading bench that you'd really like. It's touch activated, and the brightness is adjustable. I'm pretty sure I always just leave it on bright. I leave it over the third stage in the turret. So even though I have an inspection mirror on it, so even though it's impossible with this Dillon to not charge cartridge, I still can see it, and it makes me feel better about it. I see what happened to a guy's pistol that didn't abide by that he had a primer in one in a 44 Magnum Super Blackhawk, and the next one fired down there, and the bullet was up in the chamber, or in the barrel, and it blew it apart. And so I keep that picture right over my bench. I wrote something on there, I can't remember, to air or Schumann, but something else is stupid, you know. But I'll try to send you a picture of that light. I got it off of Amazon, I think, Jerry. Boy, it's nice. Bernice wanted one. It's got a clamp on the end of it. It's LED, and then a long, flexible neck, and you can put the light pretty much where you want it. You need to come up here, and I'll show it to you. It's the best way. But she just loved it, so I ordered me one. I used to have just a little old LED thing with a curved neck on it. This one here, I'd say it's 8 inches tall, maybe 3/8 of an inch thick, and 3 or 4 inches wide. And boy, it puts the light where you want it, Jerry. It's in 0TR.
I did something like that. She was using, we had one, a portable one that it gave out on us, but it only did you charge by USB. You didn't, it didn't have a regular, you know, adapter type deal, and we needed one small, so it put out enough light, though, because for her limited amount of sewing, and she still does. Because if you're sewing on dark materials, that thread is awfully hard to see without enough light. And trying to find one. I've got one on my little bench right here. I mean, I've got the bench has actually got elevated where I could do a clamp on one of this bench pretty easily. But this is not a bench I want to spend on. I mean, I've had this thing for a long time. It's not something I want to, you know, because I don't have that much radio equipment. It's awful heavy. And, but I would like to have something, you know, that I could use to see the dials on the radio a little bit better, because everything's illuminated, but the buttons aren't illuminated on this little ICOM rig. They don't, so you gotta have a little light on the front of it to be able to make sure which button you're pushing. Although the screen is touch screen, you can do a lot of it by a touch screen, but still, I like to see, make sure I'm not hitting the wrong button time. N4DJC Friday.
TR. Well, Google TROND, Trond LED light, and I bet it'll come up. I ran over there and looked at the back of it, and I assure you, you will enjoy it. It's a nice light, it really is, Jerry. And just, you can look at the specs on it, but it's spelled like it sounds, T-R-O-N-D is what it's got on the back of it. I don't have the computer here. I don't do too much Googling on the phone, to be honest with you. But just remember Trond, T-R-O-N-D, LED light. That ought to get it for you in the search engine.
I'm looking at a Natron test lamp. Never replace for goose neck test light. Yeah, I like the looks of that. I've got one that'll clamp on too, yeah. Those are very reasonable too. I like that standard one that has got the flex neck on it. Oh yeah, that looks great too. I may have to order one of these bad boys. Like about $30, I think, Tom.
Yeah, I don't think it's exorbitant, or I wouldn't have bought it. But, oh, man, what a beautiful light output. It's very white, and I think it's variable intensity. Just, like I said, look at the specs, Jerry. And mine's the one that's got a clamp on it.
Different kinds. I see one that has a clamp, one that doesn't have a clamp. And I like the looks of it. You can twist it around, and it's... I might have to order one of those. Since I can have it delivered tomorrow, I might do that. If I get one of them, just to see how it works out.
I just about put my guarantee on it that you'll like it, Jerry. It's really nice. I like a lot of light. I got right above me here, I got a red light, a F40, and I can't switch it back and forth. And then 4 foot behind me, I got two LED fluorescents there in a fixture. But I still like a lot of light on my desk here, and I got an hot light, as you say, and it's good. But I had an outside floodlight that the motion sensor quit on it, and I think it's 40 watts. Boy, I'm telling you, you want to watch it when you reach up there and grab it if it's been on a while. It, for an LED, it gets pretty warm. But I disassembled it and took the motion sensor off, and then I mounted it to the ceiling, and I can guide it where I want. So if I'm soldering something real small, I guess 22-gauge wire or 30-gauge or whatever, I put a pull chain socket on it, and it's just on and off. And it's enabled when I turn these other regular lights on. Works out like a champ instead of throwing it away.
Well, that sounds good. Like I said, I like. I'm going to try this one, the one without the clamp, because I can move it around. It really work out better for a couple of things. But, you know, all these electronics sellers, they have to, you know, they used to make all the stereo stuff with, you know, silver fronts. Now they make all the stuff with, you know, black fronts. You can't see the daggum buttons on the thing. And, of course, it gathers dust, too, and, all the ham gear is the same way, too. It's all got black fronts now. And of course, I understand why they didn't light the button to have, you know, LEDs or whatever on this radio, because it's considered to be a portable, and they don't want anything to draw any more current than they have to. But otherwise, it's fine. It's a lot easier to use this small. But it'd be nice to be able to have a selectable thing where you could dim them or not dim them. But, you know, it's... As you know, though, when you got those little wheat bulbs like they used to put in years ago, those things burn out, and you got a replacement some point in time.
Roger, I ordered a new meter for one of my spare. It is my spare. It's a Astron 35 amp power supply, and they offered an LED kit with it, and. Oh, guys, it was just for a buck or two. I can't remember. And it reminds me, yeah, the old wheat lights. I've replaced those. And sometimes, whew, there's just too much trouble to get to in a radio. But Astron offered this for a buck or two extra. Supposed to be here today, matter of fact. And it was just $28 for a voltmeter. And it's in the Arsenal, and you know how that is. You get down there and you just touch it and you've ruined it just about. I went to electrical and instrument school on the S-2 aircraft, Grumman. And I don't know, we messed around with some of that stuff, but it's been 50-some years ago. I'm a little more shaky than I was then, I think, Jerry. But you get down there, and if your breath is hitting that meter movement, that meter will deflect. And so the chances of repairing it are pretty slim. And it sticks. Like it says, it's 3 volts now, I think. And full scale, I think it's 30. But I don't like it. It bugs me that it's stuck. And I've tried a little bit of air, but you got to be so careful because it's a jeweled movement and you'll blow that needle right out of the jewel.
Well, there's no doubt about that. That's not a hard thing to do at all. Do it all from my recollection of years ago. But I've got an Astron. I've just got a small one. I got an SS-18, which is kind of a slim line one. And it's like, I think it's rated for 15 continuous, but 18, it's never, it's got a fan. I don't think the fan's ever been on the thing. And I run at least 65 watts on FM, and it's, I don't think the fan on's ever come on. It was about $100 or something like that, but they built a good power supply. It's, you know, it's a switching supply, and, you know, I used to always believe that the linear supplies were the best, and I'm sure they are under certain conditions, but good gracious alive, those linear supplies, you get a pretty good sized linear supply, and it's like, that thing is really expensive, and they're huge, too. And this one doesn't seem to be very noisy. It's noisier than running straight in. If I run straight off a battery, I can tell the difference versus the power supply, but otherwise, yeah, I can't tell much difference at all.
This is NGL TR. Well, I like the linears. Like the other day, I dropped the ground wire and it touched one of the transistors. And so I checked them and they were okay and wound up being, it knocked out a bridge rectifier. Well, I keep some of those in stock. And so I just replaced that. But it took me a while to find it. And sometimes those things are kinky to troubleshoot. But the switch mode, you might as well forget it if it breaks. Good thing about them is they don't usually break. I got a 20 amp on this radio right now, and I think it's on medium. No, it's on low power on this ICOM 208. It's doing just fine. Yeah, I keep it for a spare, but there was an old boy, and I can't remember his name, over at Anderson, and he'd help people out by selling the states. And it's been, six, 8 years ago, I bought this 35-amp supply, one of these two, from him. And I gave him $100 for it. That's what he asked. And drove over there and got it. Real nice fella. And they've worked ever since. But I like to keep it in line, so I put it on this ICOM 208. And then the RS-20 here, Astron, I just pull it out every 6 months or so and let it sit there and run idle for about an hour. Keeps the caps all fresh and everything, you know. But I'm sold on the Astrons, but I looked up a new one last week just in case I wasn't smart enough to fix that other one, hi. And they're $234.95, so yeah, you're right. But you know, my solid-state amp from Ameritron here uses a 50-volt switch mode. I don't see any noise on it at all. And when they first come out, they generated quite a bit of noise. But this big Ameritron ALS 1300's got it's 1200 watts, and it's got MOSFETs in the back, and it takes 50 volt bus. And so, knock on wood, it's just been reliable as can be, Jerry.
Switching supplies or whatever it is, where they, you know, if they had any trouble with them in a year, you're probably not going to have any trouble out of them unless something else goes wrong, unless you do something silly to them. But you know, I've got the bolts that set about 13.7, I think, and it's been pretty accurate in, you know, for the end radio thing. And like you said, I don't think, I mean, I listen to it when I'm on, I got more, you know, RF noise outside the house than I do inside the house. You know, when you get down around 145.8 or something like that on FM, when, you know, for the side, some of the satellite stuff, it's kind of noisy, but that's just a lot of power line noise and transformer noise outside. But it doesn't appear to be too much inside at all that I can tell. As I said, I can run it straight off the internal battery, or I've got one of these LiPo, you know, batteries. It's a 12-volt. 4.5 amp, and it'll run the radio for about 9 or 10 hours. It weighs less than a pound. It's only, you know, like 2 inches by 3 inches. It's a tiny little thing.
GR. Well, Jerry, one of these is an RS35M, and the other one is a VS35M. And I got a note I put on this VS when do not move this knob. And I had a little voltmeter that's digital from way back in the old days. And so I got a 5-amp power supply on it. And I set that voltmeter to 13.8 volts on that power supply and put a piece of Scotch tape over it. And you can vary the amps on it, too. But I got another big power supply that I made for test purposes years ago, and it's, I think, 10 amps, and it's got a variac on it, and it also has variable AC on it, so I could check relays and stuff like that, AC or DC, and I built it. It's in a wooden box, and I just don't have any reason to use it anymore, hardly. It was pretty nice, though, if you needed 24 volts or 36 volts to check a solenoid or something. But these two linears do just fine. And like you say, if they run after about the first 90 days, you ain't gonna have any trouble with the switch mode or any other one. But if somebody asks me which one I recommend, well, I recommend the Astron Linears because, you know, I was always able to get inside and repair them. And I don't enjoy it as much as I used to when I was a kid. I can tell you that. It makes you scratch your head, Jerry.
Well, I remember when I got that first Kenwood TS-120S, It had a Kenwood power supply. The power supply was pretty big for that thing. It might not have been their first solid state, you know, but it was like about the size of a good, decent sized mobile rig back in the day. And I know you've got you've either had a 140 or something, I'm sure, over the years, or had one at one time. But, you know, those were really good radios, and I enjoyed using that radio as well. Pretty simple compared to what we have now, but that big power supply for that thing, it was huge compared to the radio. And but I don't recall now if that thing was a linear or switcher, but most of the ones that they sell with the radios now are all switching. I don't think they're like the Kenwoods and some of the Yeezys. I want to say they're switching supplies, Tom, but I hadn't looked into it, you know, enough.
Right. I'm sure manufacturing would probably be easier, you know, and you don't have the big heavy transformer and whatnot in them. I got to where I hated switch mode stuff years ago and got kind of biased, old-fashioned, redneck, and narrow-minded, I guess. We had a lot of MIG welders that were 600 amps, and Lindy's, you know, off a few 250s. They blow them up. But then when those inverter welders come out, oh, they had to go buy those. It sounded good. And you could just pick it up and walk away with it, whereas the other ones were on rollers, you know. They were 4 foot high and 2 foot wide and 4 or 5 feet long. But if something, I was used to, if a circuit board went out, I could repair it. But, man, there was no way you was going to repair those. And then when you went to buy the boards for them, Jerry, they cost almost as much as the dang welder did. And those guys would blow those inverter welders up left and right.
We had a pretty good size when we kept it at the plant. It was, we had the poor ones, and we had the ones on wheels, too. And those guys, they sure did like that, running that one on wheels, but digging that thing. They worked on it as much as they used it, I think, Tom.
Yeah, and, you know, there was one of me in 30,000 square feet, and then they moved the structural shop up there, and I had to take care of all of that, and that was another probably 40,000 square feet, and then for probably 20 or 25 years, I had another 40,000 across the street, and for a few years there, for about 10 years, they hired me a helper, and but he couldn't read schematics, but boy, he could run conduit and pull wire, and he was really a craftsman, Jerry. I respected what he could do, but when something technical broke, and we had a lot of it, I had to go fix it. And I didn't have the time to mess around with those welders. And those guys down there, they could mess up an anvil with a rubber hammer if you give it to a welder.
KB2H Access.
Raven, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff done that probably didn't need to be done with welders and anything that's got any high voltage used or torches. And, you know, I've seen all kinds of stuff people done back in the early 70s, especially before I actually really got involved in everything. And there was some silly stuff done with them. Well, Tom, I got to jump out of here for just a second or two. Maybe I may be back on a little bit later, but enjoy talking with you. Let David get in here and see what he's got to say about things. But I'll say 7-3 for now, Tom, and I'll ask you a little bit later on. I'm going to go ahead and get this order in this light and have you here by tomorrow so I can let you know whether or not. I think maybe day after before he gets here now, but regardless, I'm going to see what that light can do. It looks really good, David. I appreciate you giving me a heads up on that. NZRTR-N4DJC, clear FQ.
Okay, Jerry. Yeah, pleasure's all mine, sir. I really enjoyed it. If I don't hear you before Christmas, and I hope I do, Merry Christmas to you and yours. And I'm certain that you will enjoy that. I'd say I'd take it if you didn't like it, but I ain't got no place to put it, Jerry. But it's a good light. At least mine have been, and Bernice's has been. 73's Jerry, N4DJC and 0TR. Go ahead, David, for a short. I got to get up and move. I'm starting to get leg cramps.
A few minutes ride to the house anyway. Just doing a job down here and right on Poinsett. You can take 14 to Poinsett and turn right. A couple of houses in, I was just putting a system in. So I got about a 5-minute ride home. I heard you guys yapping in there. I wanted to come in. That was pretty funny. Mess up an anvil with a rubber hammer. I like that. I have to steal that one.
I'm very serious. If they, you know, we had to use the ladders for many, many years that they were just out in the shop. And I'd see those guys get done. We made very, very large kilns. And they'd be 12 foot in diameter and higher or long, depending on the number of sections they put, and they were inch and a half plate. But they get done welding on something, and they just reach over their foot and kick the ladder over and let it fall. Well, that same day or the next, I might be on top of a bridge on top of a 50-ton crane using that ladder, to either work on the crane or remove a ballast above the crane that was 45 to 55 feet up in the air and leaning out at about a 30-degree angle, and I'd have to bail and wire it to the purlins and no safety belt, and everything was 480 volt three-phase. And I griped to the superintendent that we wanted fiberglass when all the utilities were using them. Nope, union says you got to have a 12-foot heavy-duty wooden ladder, Tom.
A wooden ladder, holy mackerel. Well, yeah, it's non-conductive, but so is fiberglass. So what's the problem? You didn't want to spend money is what the problem is.
That was exactly the reason. I'll never forget one year, his name was Delaney, and I liked him, but he was hard-headed as an Irishman, which he was. And so I waited till he went on vacation, and I went up to the acting superintendent, Emerson, and I said, Ed, I really would appreciate getting a fiberglass ladder and letting us lock it up in the electric shop so the welders can't tear it up. He says, you know what the last thing Delaney told me before he went on vacation, Tom? And I said, well, of course not. He says, don't buy Rouse a fiberglass ladder.
Oh, he had your number. Oh, my gosh. Well, Tom, I'm pulling onto my block here. You go stretch your legs. I'm going to go put some food in my belly. You have a good afternoon, and we'll catch you again.
Okay, Dave. Good to hear you. Yeah, that was the good old days. No safety belts or nothing. Yet when I walked across a beam one day up there between the cranes, I got chewed out for that, and don't let me ever see you do that again. Well, what was I supposed to do? I had to lean over and reach down and take out a 16-foot hot bar that was on 480. I had no sense telling him, well, you can come do that if you want, but I didn't. I like my job too well. See you later, Dave. This is NZOTR Clip.
73, Tom. KB2HXS.